This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Earl Forsey for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Monday, the 25th of March. Danny, we got a big week ahead. Tomorrow, we're broadcasting live from the Wharf, where we're going to be out at the Nats Gala, live ahead of their big event. We're going to be at the red carpet where players are streaming through with their families. Grab some executives, coaches, players, as they walk past us for live interviews. That should be a lot of fun. And that's taking place after their futures game, which is awesome. Tomorrow, for those of you that don't know, all the Nats' top prospects are forming a team to play against the varsity squad, the big league team, at Nats Park at noon. You can hear the game right here on 106.7. The Fan will be on after it. But it's a great way for them to have the dress rehearsal.
It's so cool. Yeah, it's smart. I think, you know, teams kind of started doing this over the last couple of years, right? Where it's a great way to kind of see some of these faces, get those kids a taste of playing at Nats Park. One final tune-up so you don't finish spring training and then you don't play for a week. When you come back up north, it's went all around.
For several years, the Nats have played the Twins or the Phillies or whoever they could get to come to Nationals Park for that final
tune-up. Like a pit stop on your way home.
But why not? Your whole organization right now is based on player development and prospects. Any excitement about your ball club at this moment from the fan base is about the young kids. And it's not like fans can go make trips to go see these guys in Wilmington or Harrisburg or Rochester. So it's a rare chance before they graduate for fans to actually go put eyes on them, see what they look like and how they move and what kind of athletes and how much power they have, and those types of things. So I think it's very, very cool, very, very fun. So that's tomorrow. And then Thursday is the big one. That's opening day at the big league level. Nats are going to be in Cincinnati, and you and I will be at Rudy's Golf.
Which I'm so excited about. I didn't like going several Thursdays not being at Rudy's Golf. I missed it. You know, just the GPS, just like, hey, man, is this where you want to go? It's Thursday. You know what to do. We're in a routine. You slide over there. It's been a while since football season. I'm excited to go back. That place rules, and we will be hanging out watching sports.
Yeah, if you're in the area or if you're not and you just like baseball a lot, come on over. I believe B. Mitch and Finley are going to be there before us, then you and I. So it's a 10 to 3:30 situation for the Fan live from Rudy's Golf, Kingstown, Alexandria, ahead of opening day, which is very, very cool. Adam Peters just sat down with the media, covered a bunch of ground. We'll get into what Dan Quinn had to say about the number two pick, but I actually want to hear from Adam Peters first. So the first of the three things I want to play here, Darius, is Peters when he says that the Commanders don't know what they're doing yet. They're far from their answer with the number two pick, which is funny because you're starting to hear rumblings that people say, I know what Washington's doing. Every fan on X, it seems like, knows who they're taking. But Adam Peters, maybe he's lying. Maybe he's just playing coy. But he says, not so fast. This was Peters with the reporters that are on site in Phoenix at the owners' meetings.
It doesn't sound like a long time, but you get a lot of information in that month, and there's still some of the guys we haven't seen still in person. So we'll go out and do that next week, see a couple more quarterbacks, and then we'll do visits with them. We'll do Zoom calls. We'll do a lot of different things. So we're far from our answer.
When you were with the Niners, you were parts of big trades up and big trades back. Yeah. When you look at that number two overall pick, how do you balance the player you can get there versus the haul you could get for it if you're trying to build through the draft?
Yeah, it's a big decision, obviously, but I think just like anything we do, it's about what's best for us, right? So if the best thing for us is to stand pat, then we'll stand pat. But you're always going to listen to all the different possibilities, trading up, trading back, no matter where you're at, pick, 36, 40, 67, 70, 800. So you're always going to look, okay, what are the best things for us? Weigh all the different possibilities and make the best decision you think for us at the time.
I should clarify, the meetings are in Orlando for those of you keeping score at home. They were at the Biltmore in Phoenix for a long, long time. Couple things there from that answer, and you heard our own J.P. Finley here at The Fan, who's down there for NBC4, asking him one of the follow-up questions. Peter's saying he doesn't know who they're taking yet. Do you believe that? That they have not made their decision? Because I made the case last week. They haven't gone to all the pro days. Mm-hmm. They haven't had, I would say, 70% of the meetings that they're going to end up having with the top quarterbacks are probably not done yet. When you add up all the minutes and time spent, and a lot of that happens on those visits to your facility when you go out to dinner, and they did do dinner with McCarthy and spend a night with him. I think it's very possible that they have not written it in Sharpie. My guess is they're able to put something in pencil or maybe even light pen at this point.
So I think they do know, but it doesn't incentivize them to say that.
They can put it in Sharpie right now who they're taking.
Yeah, I mean,
they
again,
can print the jersey.
Unless something changes. So I do think they're smart enough to have an open mind. In other words, like, let's say they go to dinner with Jaden Daniels and he's like rude to the wait staff, throws his food across the table, curses at Lance Newmark and gets up and leaves. They might change their pick, right? But right now, I think they know who it is. Like, I think they're too smart. I think they're too learned. I think they're too diligent. I think they've done too much research to have no idea at this point. But again, it doesn't incentivize them to be like, yep, it's a done deal, because then it makes the next five meetings that they have seem farcical.
I mean, they haven't had their jobs that long, and free agency literally just happened, and it was a whirlwind. They signed over 20 guys. There was a lot of work that went into that before and during. When was all this time to get to the bottom of all of this, this learned group? I mean, they've been busy, have they not? They just got hired. I mean, Newmark's been here, what, like 10 days before free agency or something like that?
I would say, yeah. I mean, they had to do their own evals of the roster, which they came to a conclusion that it's not very good. And they went out and spent on a whole bunch of players, I think 20 now, or maybe even north of that.
22 up to.
Yeah. With the new signing, yeah. About 20, north of 20. So, yeah, I think it's part of the interview process to figure out who's coming here. You know what I mean? Like those kind of decisions. It's like everybody's been looking. Everybody's been watching. The access to the tape has been there. Even during the season, guys are looking at that sort of stuff. If Adam Peters had stayed in San Francisco, they would have been looking at these quarterbacks. I think they know for the most part. Again, they can have their minds changed, but I think they've got a hierarchy right now, and if they had to do it tomorrow, they could.
I would go, and maybe it's semantics, I would go as far as saying they have a preference. In the way that anyone does when they start watching. If you were to turn on all these games on YouTube and just watch Drake May and Jaden Daniels and go back and watch their games, you'd come away with that going, I like that guy better. And I think they're obviously that to the 1,000,000th power, mm-hmm. right? Where this is what they do for a living. They have the cut-ups. They're doing it for hours upon hours every single day. But they got hired, and then their first job was the internal dive, the self-scout. In Peters' case, he had to hire a coach.
Yep.
Then they had to hire assistants. All of that happened basically on the brink of, in a couple of weeks until free agency. Well, when were they watching all the film on the 20-plus guys? They didn't just sign them willy-nilly. Now, a lot of those guys did work with the coaches, so they've got some previous experience and maybe didn't have to do as deep a dive on some of those players as you might have. But there was a lot of work that went into that. That just ended last week. Now you're at the owners' meetings. So I'm not sitting here pretending like they have not turned on the film and started studying. Of course they have. But I don't think that their mind is made up or that they have their answer set in stone. My guess is they've got a preference, but there's a lot of meetings where everyone's going to come together. Maybe Peters has his guy. Newmark has his guy. Gribble, who runs the scouting department, has his. Their area scouts have theirs. And when they sit down and they've had some of those initial conversations, I'm sure those are fun. But I'll bet you the knockdown drag out, like, let's put these names in an order on a board, I don't think they're quite there yet. Because what is the point of the pro day then? Or the all of the meetings with these guys if you've already made up your mind? And they haven't even gone to the two pro days and had the meetings with the two guys that they're probably going to pick. Like, McCarthy, cool. I'm glad you're doing your due diligence there.
Yep.
You went and saw Caleb Williams. So you're never going to get to draft. Awesome. Way to go. They have not sat down with Jaden Daniels other than 15 minutes at the combine. They have not sat down with Drake May other than 15 minutes at the combine. They already know which of those two they're taking. I don't buy that.
I do. I think these are just things that you do. This whole stuff is pro forma, right? The idea that a guy in shorts and a t-shirt at his own facility is going to throw to his buddies, and that's going to change people's minds at this stage. For teams that aren't any good at this, it might. But for pros that I trust as adults, they're not gonna be like, oh my god, he threw a 20-yard out on a line. They know who's good.
But it's not the physical traits, right? The pro day is about, like, I remember talking to Mike Shanahan about Kirk Cousins, and the big thing that he loved about Kirk when he was drafted was that he was one of the first guys he ever saw who scheduled his entire pro day, like every throw. Put together his own program, did it all on his own, got all the receivers to come and assigned each of them certain routes. And just that level of diligence and basically...
Thoughtful.
I was going to say even like hysteria, but like, you know, that
the maniacal behavior,
that maniacal ability. He's like, this guy gets it. And to his point, that's exactly what he's become as a pro. If you watch that quarterback series, my mom called me the other day. She's like, does Kirk Cousins really put like these things on his head and make sure the waves are correct? I'm like, yes, whatever you are asking, he does that.
Yeah, he asked for an office when he was with Washington. They were like, a what? You want an heir to do what?
I mean, it's just he is going to invest every ounce of energy, every penny he can, into playing for as long as he can, as well as he can. But Shanahan, based on the pro day, kind of said leadership qualities. He takes it seriously. He's conscientious. And it's kind of what he became, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they cared about his... They could tell if he could make the throw by watching the film against Northwestern. Nobody needs to know if J.J. McCarthy can make a throw going away. We saw the Zach Wilson throw that everyone oohed and aahed over with a jaw on the floor because he's on one hash, cross his body, whipping his arm, going 52 yards the other way. How's that worked out for him? Not that well.
Not so good.
But I think the more time you spend around guys... Would you agree with the more time that you spend around guys, the better understanding you have of them?
Of course, you want as much information as possible, so they're doing their job.
Sure, but they haven't. So 15 minutes with Jaden Daniels is all you need.
Well, again, if that's all it was, then no. But that's not all it is. They've talked to everybody that coached him. They talked to every position coach. Everybody's played with his Arizona State guys, the other guys at LSU.
So would you be
everybody's
fine
talked
not
to everybody.
Even having him to the park?
No, of course you do it because you have time to do it.
But that happens sometimes. Teams will take quarterbacks they didn't bring in for a meeting because they don't want people to know they like them.
Yeah,
Speaking of Shanahan, he did that with Jay Cutler.
He loves that bit.
How'd that work out?
Well, that's it. Like, you know, what was that, 7 or 8? At 2, it doesn't matter. Tip your hand. You can put it up on the wall today. Nobody can stop you.
No, but I'm not saying they need to trick anyone. I'm saying it sounds like your point is watch football games and you could tell who's good and who's not, essentially. Or call his high school coach, and he'll tell you about the time that he missed practice because he was at Chipotle with his buddy Steve. Would you be okay with them not bringing those guys in for meetings? Because my point is, they should do all of those meetings to me are everything. Get them on a board, ask them a million questions. Mm-hmm. Who can get you in and out of stuff? Who can answer the questions about the defense? Who can go through the rigors of the playbook with you? Like, that's the stuff I care about the most. If you don't want to work out, Jaden or Drake, no problem. Don't take the field on your pro day. I don't care. You don't want to throw at the combine? So what? I want to sit with you at that whiteboard and do that John Gruden bit. Where he's like, what'd you see this linebacker here, man? That's the whole ball game to me.
Yeah, they should. They should take every opportunity to find out as much as they can because the draft's not tomorrow. The point I'm trying to make, and it sounds like I'm just saying the same thing over and over, and I guess I am, is if it was tomorrow, they'd be fine. But they got time, so they're going to do all the things.
Okay, but if it was tomorrow, do you agree that the chance of them getting it wrong is worse than if it was at the end of April? That's what I'm trying to get at.
So say that one more time.
All of the stuff that hasn't happened yet is critical to getting this right.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
If you just had the draft the day after the college season, I would say that's worse than having it today. And if you have it today, then you have a better chance if you wait till April. Like, did you see the story that came out about Chase Young today?
Yes, with the neck.
Albert Breer basically wrote this piece up, and the gist is, and I wonder who he's talking to, but it sounds like the Commanders are saying, if that wasn't the COVID year, I think we probably wouldn't have taken him. Because maybe we would have figured out this neck problem was a real thing and could have gone in a different direction. And their claim is, like, the COVID year, there were just less meetings.
Yeah, you couldn't do the normal medicals.
You weren't around guys as much. You weren't around them for medicals. You didn't get to poke and prod them. And teams have come out and said, like, that year was the hardest year from a draft standpoint. Mm-hmm. You still had the film. They still had workouts. They were still able to watch guys get on the field and train. But all of the personal stuff, to me, is the difference. And I guess my point is, do you agree with the end of April, all the intel they're going to add makes the guy a little more bust-proof? You go from, there's a 31% chance you're right to like a 43% chance or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, when everything's equal, as it was in 2020, you had the same number of swings and misses and home runs as you would in any other year. So yeah, it was harder for the teams, but we pretend this is an exact science every year. So yeah, to a degree, again, you should get as much information when you're making a decision as possible. I'm all in favor of that. I'm not telling them to pack up and go home and not speak to anybody and just sit in the bunker and starve yourself until April. My point is, I think we're now at the 11th hour and 59 minutes and 45 seconds, and we're pretending the last 15 seconds is critical to the decision. I guess that's all. I think there's so much data in the bank that if they had to do it today, they could. They're going to do everything they possibly can because they have time to do it, and you should do it. Get all the info. Learn whatever you can.
So that's the disconnect, then, I would say. You view this as the finish line in the marathon is 50 feet up. I don't think they're close to the finish line.
Yeah, I think they don't need any more water from anybody. Yeah. They can see it, and they're waving to the crowd.
You're saying it's 11:59:30. I'm saying it's like 8:14. Like, there's a lot still to be determined here that I care so much about. I think if you sat down with Ryan Leaf a little longer and you had a few more conversations, maybe you would have found out a little more about Ryan Leaf. Not to slap that on any of these guys, obviously. All right, how about the Peters cut where he talked about the right way to develop a quarterback and what some of the harder things to do in sports are as it pertains to making sure that the quarterback you pick ends up being a really good football player. Let's get into that.
You weigh that, how ready are they immediately, or how much work do they have to do, and then how can you get them there? And so with the guys we have in the room right now, I don't think we have to rush anybody. And so that's a great thing, whether with Marcus in there, with Jake in there, we're not going to have to rush whoever. If we draft a guy, we wouldn't have to rush him into play right away. And that's not how we work anyway. And we're going to play the person who's going to give us the best chance to win.
Is there a right way to develop a young quarterback, to let him sit, throw him right in? Like, you've been parts of organizations that have gone a million different directions.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing to do in sports, I think, is evaluate and develop a quarterback. And but what you want to do is make sure you do as much as you can to let them develop. So we've built DQ did an incredible job in terms of building a great ecosystem for quarterbacks in our building. When you have Cliff, then you have Brian Johnson, you have Tavita, and we have David Blau too. So there's four people right there that they'll be able to focus on the quarterback room, and it's like four quarterbacks, right? So you get one-to-one teacher student ratio. That's pretty good. But no, I think that was intentional the way we did that. And so you give yourself the best chance to develop whoever's in that room as fast as you can.
I love the way they've built the QB room that he
100%. It's my favorite, the way they've constructed the staff.
The fact that he's saying you got a one-to-one. Every one of our quarterbacks can have one basically QB's coach to work with. Whether it's Tavita Pritchard or Brian Johnson or David Blau, they're all going to get their own guy to go over every play on film with, to go through the game plan, to give you that quiz that LaFleur used to give Robert Griffin and Kirk Cousins. They're going to have one guy working with pretty much every quarterback on the roster. I want to further address, though, what he just said about the right way to develop a quarterback. Also, you know, how quickly a guy could get on the field, that there wouldn't be a rush to have them play right away. Is there any chance that they take one of these guys at two and they don't play in week one? We should get into that next. Also, Peters was asked about trading John Allen. He doesn't say much generally. He's pretty good at just kind of answering questions vaguely. He did not take that tact with John Allen.
Not this time.
Very clear what the plan is with John Allen. That's next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Adam Peters spoke to the media today in Orlando at the league meetings. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. So we've played a couple of the clips as it pertains to the number two pick in the quarterback situation. You said they don't know who they're taking yet. I don't think either of us are completely buying that. I think they have a strong preference. You think they've already made up their mind. They're good to go. They could write it down, turn it in. The work here is done. Peters also, when asked about the quarterback situation, said something really interesting. We just played this clip, but he said, with the guys we have in the room right now, I don't think we have to rush anybody. Meaning, we've got a veteran in Marcus Mariota who could start for us if we need him to. Whoever we draft doesn't absolutely have to be our starter. No, thank you.
Mm.
No to that.
That's a no from me.
Absolutely not. Whoever you draft, especially if it's at two, and I think if it's at two, we don't have to worry about it because that's just a foregone conclusion that guy's on the field right away then. If you move back to three or four and you take McCarthy or May or whoever, then I still think that guy gets on the field. The better question becomes maybe if they were to trade back to 11 or 12 and get Penix or Nix or something. Now you've got a guy you could probably stash and people would be more okay with it. I would say specifically if it's Bo Nix, because Penix seems pretty ready and accurate, and put him out there, he can make some NFL throws right away and run an offense. But I am not in the business of, you didn't bring Marcus Mariota here to start. I think if you take a guy at two, it solves itself. There's no way you would sit that player. If you move back, I don't care. Play the rookie quarterback, period.
Yeah, I mean, to me, a success in this draft means your young drafted franchise quarterback is here. Whether it turns out to be that or not, that's what time is for. That's what a whole bunch of variables are for. We'll do our best to figure it out. And if not, please do it again. Never stop. Never bridge quarterback. That's always the wrong answer. If your plan is to start Ryan Fitzpatrick or Marcus Mariota or Case Keenum or any one of these journeyman Jerrys, it's wrong. That's the wrong plan every single time. If the point about Mariota is the reason we got him is because we feel good about having him, if he has to play in a pinch or start a couple of games for us, yep, sign me up for that. That makes perfect sense, right? He can run around, make a play or two. He's a great backup quarterback. That's exactly where he should be. He's cast very well there. I hate the idea. And again, this is just what you say. I'm not ripping Peters or the brass here, but it's just what you say. Of course, you're going to be like, yeah, we don't have to rush the guy. We like who we have. You do need to rush the guy, though. He needs to be on the field. Like that. Like, I don't have a better way to say it than that. But yes, put him on the field, please.
I want to hear what he said again really quickly about the possibility of the guy not starting the season on the field.
The hardest thing to do in sports, I think, is evaluate and develop a quarterback. But what you want to do is make sure you do as much as you can to let them develop. So we've built DQ did an incredible job in terms of building a great ecosystem for quarterbacks in our building. When you have Cliff, then you have Brian Johnson, you have Tavita, and we have David Blau too. So there's four people right there that they'll be able to focus on the quarterback room, and it's like four quarterbacks, right? So you get one-to-one teacher,
yeah.
Student ratio, that's pretty good. But no, I think that was intentional the way we did that. And so you give yourself the best chance to develop whoever's in that room as fast as you can.
When he says it's four quarterbacks, he's referencing that all four of those guys played the position. I can't stress enough how awesome a job I think they did in setting that up. And tip of the cap to Dan Quinn, who did build a really good staff, but specifically in this way. You know, we can debate, what is Cliff Kingsbury as a coordinator? How good is he going to be? Not really sure. Brian Johnson was not a very good coordinator / play caller. He's now a quarterback, or basically a pass game coordinator. How is he going to be in that role? I don't know. Tavita Pritchard was a quarterback's coach last year. The quarterback results with Sam Howell, as the year went on, got worse. I don't think that's an indictment on him. But if you want to say the jury's still out on how much a savant he is or great a coach he could be, okay. But here's what I know. When you have four guys who played quarterback, four coaches who can individually, if they want to one day, hey, you take Jaden, I'll take Marcus, you take camp body number three, you take Jake Fromm, like whoever it is, and we'll all just sit down for 3 hours and each of us gets a guy. What a great situation.
Yeah.
The David Blau hire as an assistant QB's coach, who I think could be a quarterback's coach already, that one namely was awesome. I thought that's how I knew they are taking this really seriously. They know they're taking a guy at two, and the whole staff's kind of revolving around making sure they indoctrinate that guy properly.
Go back to the head coaching search, the beginnings of it, where you and I, and I think especially you, I don't want to speak for you, but you're kept hammering this point. It's a really good one. If you go the defensive route, it's really hard. Here's why. If you have a good season with an offense that's above the league, you know, average or in any kind of way, that offensive coordinator goes, probably his top couple assistants end up going, and now you're left to kind of start over. The Tennessee Titans are the prime example of this. Mike Vrabel, a dude that is a really good football coach as far as I'm concerned, loses offensive coordinators a couple straight times over. Next thing you know, their offense stinks and he's out of a gig and he's unhirable this past cycle. That's the tougher road to travel. So what do you do about it? You layer offensive coaches the way that you would layer talent in a deep organization. That's exactly what they did. They acknowledged, if we're going to hire Dan Quinn, he's going to be really popular. Players are going to want to come play for him, yes, but coaches want to come coach with him as well. And that's everybody from your top assistants, your Kingsbury's of the world, to now you're layering Brian Johnson. Now you're layering Tavita Pritchard. Now you're layering David Blau. And you know, your quality control Quinn all the way down at the bottom is probably going to start stepping into those roles too. You have to layer that kind of talent anyway, but especially if you have a defensive-minded head coach.
I think there's probably a way, like a study that can be done that would show that having a quarterback sit for a season is beneficial. In a utopian football world, that's probably the way you would do it. You would draft Drake May or Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy. You would sit them for that first season. You would have Sam Howell still here probably in this world or some other quarterback that probably isn't Marcus Mariota, frankly, that then starts for a season. They watch, they learn, they develop, they get to practice, they get to study. And then in the second year, they take over. Because there's enough of a sample now with some of these guys where it's worked really well. I would point out, though, that that's always been where a really good quarterback was in front of the youngster, where a pretty good offense with a team that was very solid. Now, I'm thinking like Rodgers sitting behind Favre. Everyone says he benefited so much from it. Well, number one, we don't know would Rodgers, because he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, just have been great in year one anyway. I don't know. We'll never know that. But I also know that the Packers were good. They were playing in the NFC playoffs. They were playing in NFC championship type games recent in front of the Rodgers insertion. Another one that everyone points to now is Jordan Love sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. Again, That was a really good Green Bay team. That was more often than not a playoff team, a Super Bowl caliber NFC North champion type team with Rodgers. So Love gets inserted. I think that's a better example because we don't think of Love on the same level as like in a Hall of Fame type where maybe he got better as he sat, and that's a good example. But it's also a good team, good situation, good coaching staff with LaFleur. You think about Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith. Everyone points to him as a poster child for his first start was week 17, the last game of the year, when they sat all their starters because they were playoff bound. And that final season was maybe Alex Smith, not maybe, actually was Alex Smith's best year in the league.
He was the MVP of the first half of the year.
He was. That was the opener they had when they beat the Patriots. And he threw, I think, four touchdowns that night on like a Thursday night. We watched that game. Who did we watch that game with? This is a great Grant and Danny trivia question.
Oh, a Thursday night opener. Who did we This is so, okay.
We did an event.
We did an event with listeners of the Grant and Danny show. No?
No.
No. Phil LaVerriere.
No, this isn't a listener guy.
Oh, okay.
This is an appearance. All right. Do you want a hint?
Yeah. Drowning here.
We were at
Floundering's
a bar in D.C. Still nothing?
We were at a bar in D.C.
Yeah.
We went to Gordon Biersch.
The appearance, the person we were with, we were both pretty embarrassed to be there.
That's right. We went to Public. We were at Public Bar.
With?
You could say. It's fine to say it. Go ahead and say it.
Adult film star Mia Khalifa.
Here we go. Now, I thought that was a Capitals game premiere.
You thought wrong.
Because there was a Capitals jersey involved.
Did she wear a Capitals jersey? I don't remember that. I remember that we were at the Chiefs, Patriots, season opener, and Alex Smith lit it up. And she was there with us.
That's real interesting.
That was a thing that happened. I don't remember how. I'm like, this flyer is interesting. Does anybody want to mention this is happening? Or we're just all going to act
we're
like
just
this
doing
is
it.
Normal?
We're just doing it. Here we go. There's a flyer. It's like, Grant's face, my face. Yep.
That's not my face.
There are two people, and somebody else is on that flyer, on that Philadelphia.
But that started the Alex Smith awesome season.
That's right.
And Patrick
Mahomes
took over in the final week. But I would put him in that same category of that's a good team, that's a playoff team, that's a good quarterback. So, yeah, of course, a lot of those guys have had good careers. They've been in great situations. But I just don't think you have that luxury here. And it just doesn't work that way when – every incompletion or pick that Mariota throws, and there will be plenty of those, every time you lose a game,
you
send out Tressway to punt, and that's going to happen from time to time. The boos get louder, the cheering for the rookie, the chanting his name. If it's the Heisman Trophy winner, the superstar Jaden Daniels, there's just no path to that. It doesn't work. It becomes a massive distraction. So maybe it would be a cool thing. We're past that. The guys are too big of stars. They're celebrities. You can't do it. You just can't. Sorry, Adam Peters.
And so I understand the reticence to throw a neophyte quarterback into a terrible situation. Because we've seen how that goes. These guys that we now think of as punchlines, right? They're now names of guys that we go, he might turn out to be, name that player, right? Where, yeah, that you've had a head coach isn't any good. That's either inherited the guy or a complete utter lack of talent around him, outdated scheme, something that isn't particularly very good for a guy to have a chance to thrive in that environment starting early on. So you go, you got to sit him. Well, eventually he's going to have to play. The ideal scenario is that he plays with good surroundings. That's what they're trying to do right now, right? Is increase the talent level in offense, have a modern 2024 scheme, not some Mesozoic nonsense or whatever Bieniemy was trying to do last year. That's the idea, is to try to build something around him to give him a chance right now.
I want to pay this off. We said that Peters was asked about trading John Allen. This is not something the team has made it seem like was going to happen, but because there's no guaranteed money left on his deal, because Allen said on this radio station last football season he'd be open to a trade if the Commanders aren't ready to win and they're now rebuilding, or as they would say, recalibrating. It seems like it makes sense to possibly shop him and get some picks but Adam Peters does not seem interested.
We've had some great talks with Jonathan and can't wait to work with him. He's awesome. He's a great, great young man, and he's a great player. And so really excited to work with him. So we are not interested in trading him.
We are not interested in trading him is a pretty good quote. And it's a great one from Peters, who does not give you a whole lot when he speaks normally. But there's an answer. And the guy, again, has $0 guaranteed. It is an extremely team-friendly deal, meaning other teams might be willing to take on the contract. It's also why Allen could agitate if he wants to. He could want a new contract. He could want to get paid and not come to OTAs or not come to training camp if he wants to play that game. That's normally what would happen in this situation with a player of his caliber and no guaranteed money. But the team is at least putting their flag in the ground saying they have no interest in moving Allen. We can get back into that a little bit later on. Our double plays next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing at 4 o'clock. And remember, in the 4 o'clock hour, we're playing Who Am I? We'll give you three hints. You got to know what national we are hinting about. And you're going to win tickets to opening day at Nats Park here on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The rumors out of the owners' meetings in Orlando are percolating. At 4:25, right after the blitz, we'll play this audio for you and we'll get into it. But Tom Pelissero of NFL Network was just on TV and dropped a bombshell. In fact, why don't we just play this? We'll tease ahead because we'll do this in the 4 o'clock hour before we get to our double play. But, Darius, let's play this clip here from Pelissero talking about what Adam Peters might do. Because this is the whole ball game here, buddy. Well, here it is.
It's been really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy, Michigan. Can you imagine if they pass on Drake May and Jaden Daniels to take J.J. McCarthy? Now, I never for one second, I'm not going to do a victory lap or pat myself on the back, because I've never for one second thought he would be in play for Washington at two. But I called this one from miles away. He is the ultimate better pro prospect than he was kind of used as a college quarterback guy. And the helium is obvious, Danny. He is on a rocket ship right now. I stopped it at top 10. He's going maybe top 5.
Yeah,
and
how about
now,
top 2?
The rumors are maybe Washington takes him at 2.
Oh, man.
I am reminded, though, of when everyone thought Peters, Kyle Shanahan, Lynch, that whole group, wanted Mac Jones 3rd, if you remember that.
I do remember it very well, yeah.
Kyle's guy, and Mac is exactly what they're looking for. This is the proclivity that Lynch and Peters like. And then they drafted Trey Lance, and that worked out terribly for the record. But let's not forget that this is a guy that comes from a building where they enjoy that, the unknown. They love that nobody knows what they're thinking. They love that they can shock everybody when the commissioner's at the podium. Because that's quite literally basically when we found out it was Lance. If you were not following X and you were trying to avoid the leaks on draft night, you found out when it was tra and not muh. At the podium with that that first sound from Goodell. And maybe that's what Peters is going for. Maybe if someone thinks it's McCarthy, good for them. Someone thinks it's Daniels, which Ben Standing suggested today that he's hearing they're zeroing in on Jaden Daniels. Okay. You're not hearing that for Drake May. Maybe you could just zig when everyone's zagging and go, that means it's Drake May, because that's the only one where there's no rumors.
Man.
Wow.
I'm telling you, they're loving this. That everybody's scurrying one way or the other every time, you know, some rumor leaks, whatever. Because they're not the ones leaking it. This is, again, you heard the first part of Pelissero, what he said. It wasn't someone high with the Commanders told me they love J.J. McCarthy. It's asking everybody else
yeah.
about what they think about Adam Peters
right.
says this. Now, again, that means what it means, but still, it's another little permutation to the discussion.
Everybody take a deep breath.
There we go.
Everybody, Aaron Rodgers style, R-E-L-A-X. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
40 years ago yesterday, GP, I am old, by the way. That just throwing that out there just in general. But 40 years ago yesterday, on March 24th, 1984, five fictional students at Shermer High School in Shermer, Illinois, reported for an all-day detention on a Saturday. Brian Johnson, Andrew Clark, Allison Reynolds, Claire Standish, and John Bender. I am, of course, speaking of The Breakfast Club. One of the OG Brat Pack teen-style movies representing kind of, you know, what the angst was at the time. This is all high school kids going through like suburban high school drama. Like, so the whole point is they turned the casting on its head. They had all these guys and gals start in as these one-dimensional roles, right? You had the prissy princess, the jock, the rebel, the dork, the basket case, and Ally Sheedy's character. And then we find out that there's actually a lot more to each one of these kids as they, you know, are stuck together all day on a Saturday. Paul Gleason, who played Richard Vernon, the assistant principal, unfortunately has passed away over the last couple of years. But an unbelievable cast, a great flick that still holds up, in my humble opinion.
Such a good movie.
All-timer.
This was one of the first, like, my older brothers made me watch this movie. And I don't know. It had to be R-rated, right?
I think it's PG-13.
I'm pretty sure it's R because they curse a lot. I'd have to dig on that. But I remember
it is R-rated. Like, nailed it.
It is. So I think here's how I know, because I knew it was inappropriate for me. Like, I was watching it and I'm like, I'm not supposed to be watching this. It was just me and my brothers, and it's one of those movies. I was like probably 10 or 11 and I'm like, oh, this is a classic. All right, let's check this out. John Hughes, who wrote and directed that movie, is an all-timer. He gave me a lot of joy growing up. Uncle Buck, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
His catalog, by the way, A, slept on, B, terrific.
I mean, it's just Hall of Fame. All the Home Alone movies. I got to look this up before I say this, but I'm pretty sure he was involved in the movie. Heavyweights that I really liked as a kid. But yes, I mean, just, he was 16 Candles. He wrote that. Vacation. You name it. In that era, he was probably involved in some way if it was a good comedy. Breakfast Club's an all-timer. I was wondering why. Somebody was talking about it earlier today online. I saw people were like naming the different characters and comparing them to people. I was like, whoa, this is a random thing. So 40-year anniversary?
40 years ago yesterday was the Breakfast Club date, so to speak, right? Because that's when it took place, obviously, mid-80s. That all had some reason to go to detention.
So you were not old enough to have seen it in theaters?
Definitely didn't see it in theaters, no. But it's one of those...
I'm jealous of people who did.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool to have a memory of being like a teenager who saw Breakfast Club in the movie theater. That's the kind of movie I would go to like Alamo Drafthouse tonight to watch in the theater, how they do the throwback movies.
Yeah.
Just to get
like eat some pretzels and fries or something like that.
100%.
All about it. I mean, because what was probably so amazing is, I don't know how you would do it now, but then they pretty much, again, got every sort of encapsulation of the characters you would see at high school.
Who's your character? Who's your guy that you like the most?
The guy that I identified with the most?
Not necessarily identified. Who did you enjoy the most in the movie? I was a Brian Johnson guy.
That's because, you know, the nerd who was just trying to do the right thing.
Yes.
And then eventually, like, kind of comes around and writes it. So, give me Andrew Clark, his turn. So, that's Emilio Estevez's character. He initially is, like, the meatheadiest meathead. You know, like, yelling at Bender, like, don't even look at her. She doesn't even exist to you. You might as well be dead at this school. And then you find out more and more about the pressure that he's under. And his turn, I think, is probably the coolest.
You want to feel old?
Yeah.
Here's a picture of Anthony Michael Hall right now.
I mean, this is a he's probably in his 50s.
You're not ready for this, by the way.
Yeah, I can't. Turn it around.
I mean, that is.
Turn it back around.
We are cooked.
I can't. You mean that?
How are you still alive?
That gray-haired small-town mayor is that's Michael Anthony Hall.
That's Anthony Michael Hall, my guy. Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, next our Beltway Blitz, and we're kicking off the first of three hints. Little Nationals, who am I? You got to listen for the full hour. Get the three hints. When we drop the third one, you'll call in, and you can win tickets to opening day right here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.